What's good, locals? Welcome back to The Local Podcast. This is episode 52. You can find our podcast on Audioboom, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Store, and that one app you guys know about that we don't know. But you have me, Carlos Perez, and my good friend,
Miguel Vasquez.
Yes, sir. Our podcast mainly consists of video games, movies, and pretty much anything that interests us in our life. Sometimes anime, TV shows, and yeah, we just got done watching the Resident Evil 8 showcase, and wow. But before, pretty much that'll be our main topic. But before we hop into that, Mike, what have you been up to, buddy?
This week has been quite busy. I just finished working on the Simpsons family piece. Finished Homer and Lisa, and then after I finished those, I've been in talks with one of my old clients to like make to help him make another character from. The last time I worked with him was back in 2019. So he wants to do another character. So that's pretty cool. And also like I got another, I'm also like, negotiating like prices, prices with the distributor, with the person that makes toys. They want to make, remember those toys we had with SpongeBob and Patrick?
And
those are original toys.
And Homer.
Well, yeah, they contacted me, not the people that that I was in contact with, but it was like it's a different factory, and they're the ones who produced it for VTSS Toys, the ones that
the people. VT Toys is pretty much your publisher, but they're the distributor, right?
Yeah. So they're like, okay. Hey, you know, like we still have like a couple hundred sets. If you still want to sell them, you know, we can just negotiate price and stuff like that. And that's what I've been doing with them. So yeah, like it's pretty crazy, you know. I guess we're gonna bring back the SpongeBob and Patrick statues.
Oh hell yeah! If you bring back another set, let me know. I'll buy one off of you so I can have a fresh minty set, you know.
For sure. Yeah. The only downside is that we might have to change the color, like the paint job, just because like it can't. It's not supposed to like it can't mimic the one that we did with VTSS toys.
Yeah, I don't know why. I have like licensing issues or whatever. It's like, you know,
probably, yeah.
Some stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah. So right now they're asking me how much I want to get off per each set sold, or if they can buy off the license, like the rights from me.
Yeah.
So we're negotiating on that one. But yeah, it's been a pretty busy week. Finished those two Simpson models. Negotiating on the price for the statues and with the client, you know. But yeah, it's been a good week, honestly. I haven't played any games. I will soon with the Resident Evil demo. I mean, well, not spoiler, but you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Would you consider it a spoiler?
Nah.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna play that later after we're done.
But, dude, but go on. I'll let you finish. Sorry.
Oh yeah, yeah. Go on.
You're done?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, right before we started recording, like I said, we just watched the Resident Evil 8 showcase. Literally, I told Mike, hold up, I'm going to download the demo while we record. Literally, dude. As soon as you started talking about what you've been doing this past week, the demo was done. That's how fast it downloaded. To be fair.
Reflex.
Yeah. To be fair, it was only 4 gigs, but still, like, it was literally seconds, not even minutes before I started downloading, you know? But I finally finished work. Obviously, you could probably tell that I'm not home from the audio quality, I assume. Mm-hmm. But other than that, yeah, work was cool. It was pretty easy. I was grinding through some Persona. I didn't get very far, but man, after watching the Resident Evil 8 showcase, I was like, damn, I gotta hurry up and play Resident Evil 7. So definitely after the podcast, I'm gonna play Resident Evil 7. And then hop into that Resident Evil 8 demo. I'm pretty sure I could probably beat Resident Evil 7 in a day. What do you think?
I wouldn't say a day. Depends on like how long you stay grinding for. But for sure, like maybe 2 or 3 days if you're on your shit, you know?
How long is it?
Maybe like 15 hours, 14 hours.
Oh, yeah, that's a day.
Because if you're going to be, you're going to have to look for stuff too.
All right. We'll see. Yeah. I honestly give myself maybe 3 days too. Yeah. Yeah, if anything.
For sure. Are you going to play it on PC or PS4?
I'm going to play on my PlayStation.
All right, for sure.
I should have downloaded that before we started recording. It's not even downloaded. God damn it.
Yeah. Nah, you're good, though. Because, like, you know how technically, like, you like playing shooters on PC? Well, the thing is, like, with Resident Evil, it's not really, it's like, it's a slow paced game, so you're good. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, honestly, Resident Evil isn't all that for like shooters. Yeah, it's a shooter, but you're mainly aiming at zombies, you know? It's not like you're aiming at multiplayer shooters.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I like playing. I could play Call of Duty Zombies with a controller. I don't mind it because it's just zombies, you know? I'm not getting shot back. But yeah, other than that, yeah, I was playing some Persona 5 Royale. I re-downloaded Immortals, Phoenix Rising. Haven't touched it yet, though. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I just got back from work yesterday, chilling at the house. I unboxed my Majora's Mask first four figures mini statue, so that looks really nice. Damn, I'm trying to think, what else did I do? Yeah, I haven't been doing much, just the work and keeping up, trying to get this podcast grinding, you know,
for sure.
But other than that, man, let's start talking about some Resident Evil 8. I'll let you handle it. I feel like you're not that I wasn't interested, but I would like for you to handle the news.
Yeah, you know, speaking of me, you know, being a huge, like, longtime fan of Resident Evil type of person, I enjoyed it. I was watching it off your screen, you know, the share screen on Discord. So it was kind of choppy, you know, like, not too choppy, but, you know, still watchable. But you know how you mentioned earlier that some of the mechanics looks kind of last gen in a way?
Yeah, like the gameplay, like...
It looked kind of choppy, or I don't know.
Yeah, it really looked last gen gameplay when they're like breaking, smashing. Smashing objects. Like, it was kind of weird. And then that one scene where the big ass, I don't know what that thing is, with the big old hammer and the three werewolves, like the werewolves look kind of like obviously it is a video game, but it didn't look as good as other games that are out there right now, you know?
Yeah,
but then again, to be fair, Resident Evil 8 has probably been in development for how long after Resident Evil 7?
For maybe 2-3 years.
Yeah, you know, so it kind of looked less. Yeah, but then again, they did say there is going to be a free next gen upgrade when it releases day one. So that's kind of good to know. You know, we haven't seen, some of the gameplay there was captured from PS5. But I think that was only the demo, right?
Yeah, that was just PS5, yeah. But all of it, too. Like, the gameplay, too, was PS5 captured.
Yeah. But yeah, there is a... Yeah, that's all that was choppy to me, was just the game-breaking objects and the werewolves looking kind of funny.
Yeah. I'm assuming the game's going to run at 60 frames per second. So that's pretty good. Yeah, it didn't look choppy when I watched it, and I wasn't underwhelmed. Was I disappointed? No. Am I excited for it? Yeah, you know, I am. Not too excited like as I would for like a Resident Evil 4 remake, but yeah, I'm excited because it's overall continues with the story of Ethan, you know, from Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty good. Am I looking forward to it? Yeah. Is it day one for me? Probably. Yeah, most likely, you know. I just hope it's not too much action and mostly relies on like psychological horror and survival, you know, conserving your ammo and stuff like that. That's the type of horror games I'm into. So I hope it's just that, you know, but looking at the demo, it looks promising just because like there isn't any enemies with guns yet, you know, not like in the old Resident Evil games where they would have guns shooting at you.
Yeah.
It looks like they have weapons though, like axes, you know, pickaxes to hurt you with, but nothing too Call of Duty style, you know, like with guns and stuff like that.
Definitely.
Yeah, like, and the interior design, like the game design looks really gorgeous. At some points, there was like, it looked like a next-gen game, you know, just because of the way the light reflects on off surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looked pretty good, dude. And the character designs are pretty nice, too. The big lady was like, damn, like, I don't know what she's going to, I'm assuming she's going to be like the main
villain.
I wouldn't say villain. I'm assuming she's just going to be like maybe a villain. I don't know. But I wouldn't say she's like the main villain, but she'll be like, she'll come across as someone that you have to like probably like obey to and then end up killing her in halfway through the game. I don't know. But yeah, like so far I'm digging the character choices.
Yeah, definitely. So pretty much what they showed off was Resident Evil 8 gameplay announcement trailer, a digital, a deluxe edition, collector's edition, the release date, and a demo, and a new game mode that's going to be into it called RE Reverse. Mm-hmm. And what else did they show? They showed off the Netflix movie they announced last year. Mm-hmm. That's yep. coming. It takes place with Leon and what's her fucking name? Jill?
Claire.
Claire, there we go. Claire's life after Resident Evil 4. So that, mm-hmm. that looks pretty cool. I'm pretty mm-hmm. high for that. But I was going to ask some more Resident Evil 8 questions. I sent you a picture on Discord. Mm-hmm. So Resident Evil 8 comes out May 7th, 2021. Do you think we're going to be able to turn into werewolves from the picture we got? It's literally, that's Chris, fuck. Right?
Maybe. I'm assuming that's Chris Redfield.
Yeah, like he's going to become a werewolf, right? Because it's literally half of Chris's face and then half werewolf.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, damn, I didn't pay attention to that. But if that happens, that'll be crazy, dude. Because Chris Redfield is like a favorite, you know, character within the Resident Evil franchise. So if something bad happens to him like that, if he turns evil, who knows, you know? Or, you know, maybe he can turn into a wolf and then kill these monsters too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty badass. But yeah, I didn't notice that. But damn, I don't know. Would you be able to play as a werewolf? Maybe.
That'd be
maybe
nuts.
Towards the end of the game, you know? I don't mm-hmm. know. A vaccine, you know? I don't know. But yeah, damn.
But other than that, overall, the entire showcase, what did you think? Did you enjoy the, what was it, like 20 minutes?
I enjoyed it. Honestly, I did enjoy it. Did I have high expectations from it? Kind of, just because I was hoping, this was a Resident Evil showcase. So I was assuming that they were going to show something like a little teaser of the new the Resident Evil 4 remake, you know? Because mm-hmm. I do know they're working on it. So I was hoping for them to like show it, but I was a little disappointed. But just like Kratos says, you know, from God of War, he says, never have your expectations.
Hi, boy.
Yeah, hi, boy.
Yeah, dude, that's a fucking good line. Mm-hmm. I had high expectations too, thinking Resident Evil showcase, like it's not specifically says Resident Evil 8 showcase. So like mm-hmm. we talked about on the last podcast, we had a lot of guesses. RE4 remake, we kind of got the Netflix movie, right? But this is the 3D modeled version. It's not the real life action one.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we guess last week?
We didn't guess a demo, right? We never assumed that there was going to be a demo for it.
Mm-hmm, you're right.
I don't know.
We got. We did get the release date trailer. The release date confirmed.
We did. Oh, all right, for sure.
I think we guessed it. If not, then I'm wrong. But I could have swore we guessed it.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. I had high expectations. I mean, I'm not disappointed, but I just wish there was a lot more information that they would give us. But then again, we've only got pretty much two showcases of the game from the PlayStation event and this one, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That gives us information about the game. But nonetheless, I'm really excited.
Yeah, honestly, I was not expecting it to be released that early, you know, in 4 months.
What are the chances it gets delayed?
I don't know. They seem pretty confident, you know. That's pretty bold of them to assume, you know, to say that it's coming out in May. But this is a game they've been working on for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure they're ready for it, you know. But
definitely.
Yeah, if it does get delayed, that would suck, you know.
I feel like if it does get delayed, it won't go into 2022. It would be, like I said, the latest maybe October.
November or October.
Yeah, November or October, definitely. But yeah, for sure, this game will come out this year. I'm not saying that it will get delayed. I'm just saying if it gets delayed, it's going to release sometime this year.
Yeah, I don't know why. Hopefully they don't bust a CD Projekt Red kind of release.
I'm pretty sure everyone's not going to try to bust a CD Projekt Red. And we'll get into that next. That mm-hmm. reminds me. Mm-hmm. But I have one thing that I didn't like from the showcase, and it's not even Resident Evil's issue. It's mm-hmm. the next gen consoles or current gen consoles.
Yeah, I was yeah.
I didn't know what it meant. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, we got new consoles now. We could call them current gen, really.
Yeah.
It kind of sucks that people still can't get their hands on them, but
nonetheless,
it's out.
It's still current.
Yeah, it's still current, you know? So it's kind of confusing. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, one thing I don't like, not even don't like, it's more like it's weird. Why does PlayStation and Xbox have to have their own language for an upgrade pass? Xbox has smart delivery and PlayStation has free upgrade to digital PS5 version.
Wait, what's the difference between both with Xbox's smart delivery? What does that mean?
I don't know. I really don't know. I just think it's the same thing. Like if you have it for an Xbox, if you have the game for Xbox One or PS4, once you get your next gen, you're going to be able to get the next gen edition download update. You know what I mean? Like next gen patch for free.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is that? Like, I don't know. Why can't they just call it next gen patch free? Like, why can't they just call it that? You know?
Smart delivery. What if maybe they mean that by that, they probably mean that you'll get it shipped, you know, smart delivery, you know, instead of buying it digitally or like downloading digitally, you know, for Xbox.
Yeah. If anything, I like smart delivery better than free upgrade to digital PS5 version. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. Honestly, I prefer free upgrade just because it's like so simple. Like it just tells you right away, you know, instead of smart delivery, people would be like, wait, what does that mean?
I don't know. It's confusing. You see what I mean? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we could talk about all the other details they released, like the deluxe edition. They're calling the trauma pack. You get a free, I think, weapon bobblehead, Mr. Everywhere, RE7 filter footage, the tragedy Ethan Winters, I guess, story, pistol, save device, max difficulty. What the hell? Safe room music. And in the collector's edition, you get everything previously in the deluxe edition. But in the collector's edition, you get a Chris figure, poster, trauma pack product code, a steel book, an art book, and like a loot box that you would loot in the game. You know what I mean? So what do you think about that Chris figure? Do you see it?
Yeah, I seen it. It looks pretty cool, you know. Would I get it? Nah, not really. Just because like...
I think the price for the collector's edition is $215.
I don't know. How big is a Chris figure? Maybe like a 12 inches tall?
I'm not sure. It doesn't look that big.
Nah.
It looks about like maybe 8 inches.
Yeah. It kind of gives me Joe vibes from
from
Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like would I get it? Not really, dude. I very rarely get collector edition stuff. So I'm going to pass on it.
Yeah, me neither. But, if you look closely though, there's a wolf symbol under Chris, so it has to be guaranteed Chris is turning werewolf, right?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy though.
Let me see, they also announced Resident Evil Village. You could get Resident Evil 8 and 7 in a bundle.
Oh yeah,
apparently. I completely forgot about that. If you pre-order Village, you get survival resource pack like medicine and some bullets and stuff like that. And the Mr. Raccoon weapon charm. I think it's just like a little keychain that hangs on your gun. Mm-hmm. Also, if you pre-order digitally on the PlayStation Store, you get the Village soundtrack. I'm not sure if anyone's interested in video game music, but we literally were talking about it that we do listen to video game music.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I've been bumping Persona 5. Obviously, Legend of Zelda is probably one of my favorites. what's another good one? Another banger. Crap, what's that game called? Little Nightmares has a good soundtrack too.
Oh, you've listened to it?
Yeah, hell yeah.
For real?
Yes.
This game sucks. You like this game?
That was such a good moment.
For real, you do listen to the soundtrack?
Yeah, well, I don't listen to it like every day, but I have listened to it. I do like it. I listened to it this week.
Yeah, I've listened to it too. That's cool. Before we talk about Little Nightmares, because I was gonna ask you if you played a demo, but pretty much every night I listen to Resident Evil, the old school Resident Evil 2 soundtrack.
Damn.
And the PS1 game. And I pretty much fall asleep to it. I listen to there's something special about, you know, PS1 game soundtrack, you know? It just has a different tone than, you know, modern game soundtracks. You know, there's just something special about it. But yeah, I listen to it and then I'll read like articles about, you know, the Ice Age back in, you know, San Bernardino, LA, you know, how it was. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll just read articles, dude, about the past while listening to, like, Resident Evil soundtrack. It really makes it, like, so mysterious in a way, reading these articles about how back in LA, you know, back here, where we live right now, it used to have, like, you know, American lions, you know, like, mammoths, you know, like, fucking giant-ass bears, you know. But I'll be bumping, like, Resident Evil music and just, you know, reading that on Wikipedia, you know, to pretty cool. I like doing that.
Yeah, I feel that. Freaking, but yeah, let's keep going with the news. Crap, I forgot where I was. We were talking about video game music, and then, oh yeah, fuck, we're still talking about Resident Evil 8. So yeah, you get that when you pre-order Village on PlayStation consoles. I'm pretty sure it says PlayStation Store Digital, so I assume you will also be able to get on PS4 and PS5, you know? But exclusively, you can play the Resident Evil 8 demo called Maiden, and it's only available for PS5, I believe. I'm not sure about PS4. But yeah, what do you think about that? I was actually thinking when we were talking about it, like, oh yeah, PT vibes, because there's no combat and there's no blocking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're pretty much exploring like the big open room that you see like with the staircase and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely pretty excited. It's supposed to be a visual demo. So you're going to be looking at what you're going to be seeing and listening to what you're going to be hearing.
Yeah, and, pretty much. Yeah. You pretty much said it. Yeah. It's going to be like a visual demo. You're going to get a glimpse of how the game's going to be. As the title suggests, you know, visual demo, it's going to showcase like what the PS5 is capable of doing for current gen or next gen games. Yeah. So I'm excited to check that out. I hope it runs at 60 frames per second, 4K, you know, to really appreciate like the beauty of the game. But yeah, I'm hyped for it. Honestly, it's going to be like PT, you know, you can't do anything. Pretty much a teaser of what's ahead, you know, coming ahead for Resident Evil 8.
Yeah, definitely. When we're watching the gameplay trailer, dude, I was noticing that when all the witches or whatever the girls were, like the big girl and then her three little, like, I don't know, sidekicks or whatever, when they gang up and they slice like that guy's leg or with the scythe and they get it stuck, before they push him to the ground, I like with the headset, I heard the girl talking in my left headset. And then as they're laughing, like surrounding him, it was going through the back of my head onto the right side of my headset. And then once they were all in front of me, I could hear all of them at once, like through both ears. It was so cool. I just didn't want to speak up during the thing because we were watching it. But yeah, that was really awesome. So I can't wait to play this demo with the headset.
For sure.
As of right now, it's only available on PS5, the demo called Maiden. But I guess in spring, it's coming to all platforms, the demo. I didn't know that when we were watching. That's pretty cool. But yeah, that's pretty much it for Resident Evil 8 news. They also showed off their new multiplayer mode that's going to be included with Resident Evil Village called RE-verse. It's pretty much like a PvP. I don't really know what to say. It looks kind of whack.
Honestly, I was like, it felt cringy watching it.
Yeah, so pretty
like,
much.
I was cringing like fuck, you know? Just like the bad aiming, you know? Like, who the fuck does that, dude? Like, if you're going to showcase a new game, play it on PC, you know? Instead of console.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, the aiming was awful, dude. I was like, damn, who the fuck is playing this game?
How would you explain what this game mode is?
Pretty much like a death battle. It's free, right? I'm assuming you don't have to buy it. You just have to purchase.
Yeah, the game. Resident Evil 8.
Yeah, and it comes with it. So I guess, you know, if it's free, it's free. You know, fuck it. I'll give it a shot. But if they like charge like $30 for it, fuck no, you know.
Yeah, they said it's free with the game.
For sure. Yeah. Would I play it? Yeah, it looks pretty fun. Honestly, I'll give it a shot. I'd love to play as Mr. X or Nemesis, you know. Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. So pretty much it looks like Mike said, it's like a deathmatch type of game mode. You can play as many other different famous Resident Evil characters or enemies. So pretty much once you die, you turn into a mutant or what does Resident Evil call those things? They're not zombies.
Infected mutants.
There we go. Infected. You become an infected. Like fuck, what, I forgot the main villain from Resident Evil 2.
Mr. X. Tyrant?
Mr. X? Oh, no, Resident Evil 3.
Nemesis?
There we go. You could be Nemesis also with the big-ass bazooka. And yeah, honestly, the gameplay looks cringy as hell. But if it's free, I'll try it out with you, Mike. We'll play like a couple of matches when it drops.
For sure.
It'll be fun. But other than that, they showed off also Resident Evil The Division 2 collab, which is pretty cool. I don't play that much Division 2, but if you do, I say it's worth checking out. That drops February 2nd.
Yeah. Now, that one looked better than the Resident
Evil. Yeah, it did. Yeah. For sure it did. But yeah, so there's Resident Evil 8 Standard Edition, which is coming out for $60 for PS5 next-gen console. Or, crap, I'm not even saying it correctly now. Mm-hmm. So PS5 and PS4, Xbox One, Xbox Series, $60 Standard Edition. Deluxe is $70. And I believe the Collector's Edition is $215. I forgot where I saw that at, but I can't find it now. But... hell no.
Yeah, but, yeah. I'm actually surprised that it's gonna cost $60 instead of $70, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's good, you know.
Definitely. But yeah, you got any last minute sayings for what's next?
All I can say is, like I said earlier, I'm surprised. I actually caught me off guard when I found out that it's coming out in May. That's way too early, which makes it even more exciting for me, you know, to get my hands on.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for it, and if you're like a huge Resident Evil fan, you know, I say, you know, give it a shot, you know, try out the demo and see what we think, you know.
Definitely. But yeah, other than that, we got some more Cyberpunk news. Jason Schreier for Bloomberg came out with an article talking about like what went wrong with Cyberpunk 2077. Did you get a peek at that?
No, I didn't. No.
Okay, pretty much from his article, I've read it all, and literally, it seems like Cyberpunk 2077 was a shit show. Like reading this article made me not want to play the game at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, just like hearing all these bad things turned me off so much. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was like, dang, like that's what's really going on? Like, this kind of sucks. Like, why would, not that, why... I'm pretty sure the game is still great. The story is still great, you know? But overall, literally, I guess the demo they showed off at E3, they spent months doing, and then they didn't even put that demo in the game. Mm-hmm. So it's like they wasted months on a demo when they could have been spending those months making the game better.
Wow.
So there's one thing for that. There's another part where they showed off like a teaser in 2012, but they didn't start working on the game till 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that to note, that even when the game was coming out, I guess they announced a release date and the developers were like, what the hell? Like, we're not going to be able to hit that. And then pretty much their motive to keep them going was, oh no, we made The Witcher 3. It's fine. We got this.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, like what the hell? Like, how could you be so... Like, it's cool to be cocky.
So cocky, you know?
Yeah, like, cocky. But, like, to know your power and your cockiness, like, all right, that's cool, you know? Like if you actually made the game fine within the thing, you know what I mean? Like, I guess it's okay to be that cocky. But to be cocky and still lose, like, you just look like an ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, with The Witcher 3, they already had a source material coming from it. It's like, The Witcher 3 is based off a book, I think. So, like, for them to be saying, like, oh, we made The Witcher 3. Well, I mean, yeah, because, like, you already had, like, the source material. You already had the book to, like, implement in The Witcher 3 story, you know, which made it great, you know?
Wait, to be fair, the books don't relate to the games.
I've read that it's, like, based on Witcher 3, something like that.
I could be wrong, though. I think, because I have some of the books, but I think that they had, like, a deal where the guy was, like, yeah, you could do whatever you want with the license, but you just can't copy any of my books. And they're like, oh, okay. Like, they do have, like, source material, but it's not based off the book. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then sure. I remember later down the line, the owner of the Witcher 3 books that created the story and the universe and stuff, that CD Projekt Red was making so much more money that he tried suing them to get more money because they were making a lot more money than him.
Damn.
Or like some shit. But anyways, we're talking about Cyberpunk 2077. And I could be wrong also. It could be based on the books. I haven't read all of them, but I know there's like 7 or 6. I have like the first two. But nonetheless, we're talking about Cyberpunk 2077. And what was going on in their heads. All these developers just... It just seemed like such a weird... Something weird to go through, you know?
Yeah.
To from so many delays, from it launching horribly with so many bugs. And I don't know, I'm kind of speechless. Cyberpunk 2077, you could listen to all our previous podcasts. I was super excited. I was super backed up. I even at one point was like, they made The Witcher 3. This game is going to be great. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So just to know what they were going through while developing this game, like, turns me off from going back and finishing, like, not even finishing, to playing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, literally, the developers were saying, like, yeah, we're not ready to release this game. The game is not ready. And then they were like, well, we're still going to release it. We're still going to release it. We're still going to release it. You know what? We'll give you guys 20 more days, and then that's when we're releasing it. And developers were like, 21 days is not going to work. You know what I mean? So there's a bunch of stuff going on, but yeah, it's a pretty good article readout, but I won't get too much more into it. But just knowing that the developers knew that this game wasn't ready and they still launched it anyways, like, what the heck?
Blame the publisher, not the developers, you know, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what the what's that guy's name? The main head, Adam Podolsky, I think. My God, is his Twitter right here. No, that's not him. But regardless, he was like, yeah, don't blame the developers because they worked really hard. And for sure, I don't blame the developers, whoever. Yeah, I'll just blame the publishers.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't know. It seemed like a real shit show for what was going on.
Yeah, it really does suck, dude, because, like, that affects employees, you know, like developers.
Yep.
If something doesn't sell right, they'll eventually, you know, cut off people. They'll have, like, they'll let people go, you know, just to save up money. Like, it's always happened like that, you know, studios, you know, letting people go, employees go. But from what I've heard, you know, they made some great money out of it. Out of Cyberpunk, so that's in a good sense, like, that's pretty good for, you know, developers. I mean, when you have, like, a successful game launch, you know, I wouldn't call them successful for what they did, but sales wise it sounds pretty successful, so that's pretty good. It means they get to keep their jobs, you know, like, it means they can get, like, it means for them to, like, save up, you know, make profit out of it, and then, like, develop new games in the future, you know, more stable games, you know.
But
yeah, thankfully nothing like came out of it, like, wrong, like, nothing, like, too bad, you know. Yeah, like, they had a shit, like, yeah, like you said, they had a shit show, but the good thing is that they made money off of it, and developers will be able to keep their employees, you know, instead of letting them go.
Yeah,
because that always happens, you know.
For sure. I would want to see at least, hopefully, in the end, I hope they learn their lesson, and I hope they never do that again. Who really knows what's going to happen? But just because you made one great game, or not even one, I'm pretty sure they made plenty of others, 1, 2, and 3 of The Witcher. No one gets fooled themselves like that, you know? Like, EA with their loot box system. Like, they thought, hey, if we throw this into Star Wars, we're guaranteed people are just going to buy our shit, like, buy loot boxes. And look what happened. They got, like, they had a shit show too. Everyone didn't buy their game because of how long it took to unlock everything in game. They took their loot boxes out. So hopefully, go on.
Pretty much, and EAs are responsible for the demise of Dead Space, you know, series.
Yeah.
They're the ones who made Dead Space 3 turn out to be like a shooter more than a horror game, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reason why. But yeah, you know, publishers do, not developers, not studios. It's publishers. They're the ones who make the big call, you know?
Mm-hmm. So hopefully, not only Cyberpunk, hopefully other developers take note, like, hey, like, gamers don't like it when a game gets so much hype and then some stuff is just completely written off and just deleted from the game just because it doesn't work, but you showed it off and says it works. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it kind of sucks. Like, it's a big letdown. And yeah, getting people's hopes up pretty much just sucks. But nonetheless, I hope other developers, publishers know better than to be pushing a game that's not ready, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, like, just like Halo Infinite, shit got shown off and the game looked really, I wouldn't say it looked really bad, but it did look like a launch last gen console game.
It did, you know? Yeah.
But other than that, like, I think they said that it's gonna be a couple of months delay. And then recently they just said, yeah, it's not coming out till November. Like, mm-hmm. that couple of months is just scrapped. We're going to need more than that just to make the game we envision, you know? And good mm-hmm. for them, you know? I can't say much about Halo because obviously I'm not a Halo fan. But talking about development and stuff, yeah, take all the time you need. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, Cyberpunk was crazy. It kind of lets me down reading all the stuff. But they replied to Jason Schreier's article and they were trying to clear things up too. Talks about fans and journalists were wowed by Cyberpunk's ambition and scale. What they didn't know was the demo was almost entirely fake. All right, cleared that off. He pretty much just talks about how things aren't fake, but things get scrapped. Most of the staff knew and openly said it wouldn't be ready for release in 2020. And he pretty much clears the room and he says, you said that you talked to almost the entire staff, but he really only talked to 20 people. And some being ex-employees. And then he clears the room and says that there was 500 people, so he was wrong there. A few non-Polish staffers shared stories about coworkers using Polish in front of them, pretty much talking about how employees were using different languages in front of other employees and when they didn't speak that language. Yeah, mm-hmm. Nothing crazy, but still doesn't change the fact that like mm-hmm. they knew it was going to be a circus when it mm-hmm. came out and they were still right, you know? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't change the fact.
Yeah. And whatever they say, whatever that person says, it doesn't change the fact that what they launched was like a mess, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, they'll believe the article more than they believe him, what he says, you know?
Definitely. But other than that, that's pretty much it for that. Cyberpunk debacle, whatever you want to call it.
Shutterpunk.
Other than that, I got a couple of little news bits too. PlayStation, Sony Santa Monica. Oh my god, I cannot talk. Sony Santa Monica Studios, I guess, is opening up a little side studio, and it's focusing on a new game that they're developing, but it has nothing to do with God of War. Like, I'm assuming it's a brand new IP.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what shit. Do you think about that?
That's pretty interesting. Let's see. Sony Santa Monica has always been known for developing God of War games. I don't think they've ever developed any other. I don't know if they've developed any games, other games.
I think it's small. That. I think it's going to be a small game, they said.
Maybe a God of War spinoff?
You think Atreus?
Maybe, who knows? Maybe Sony will come out with the new PlayStation, you know, PSP, you know, like PlayStation Portable, and they're gonna launch this studio so they can develop a game for the new PlayStation console, you know?
That'd be dope. Like a new Vita.
Yeah, because God of War had, God of War, they made a God of War game. I don't think it was Sony Santa Monica, but it was another studio that made a God of War game for the PS5 exclusively. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we don't know. Just that's pretty interesting, though. If you said it's a small studio, then perhaps, you know, like a VR game, you know, who knows?
That'd be crazy. Yeah. Freaking. Speaking of that, they also said that Sony is looking into remaking or revisiting some old IPs. Sly Cooper, sure. Jack and Daxter, or just Jack, whatever. Crap, I think Twisted Metal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they didn't say specifically which ones, but obviously we have to assume those are some big heads right there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about revisiting some old games? And if any old games, which one would you want back?
I used to play Twisted Metal back on the PS1, but would I play it? I don't know. I would have to see gameplay of it. I'm not really a huge Twisted Metal fan, but the only remake, well, the only game I want to play from like the old Sony games would be Ratchet and Clank. But we already know that one's going to come out, you know?
Yeah, Insomniac handles that.
Yeah, so Jack and Dexter too.
Mm-hmm.
Jack and Dexter, SOCOM, Shadow Colossus, you know, a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just, fuck, I forgot. I know Sony has a lot of exclusives, but what other games?
Yeah, I'm really excited if they were to revisit Sly Cooper. It has to be a given because Sucker Punch had a little Easter egg in completing one of the armor suits. Mm-hmm. You pretty much look like Sly Cooper, the raccoon. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. You get a trophy for that. I think I forgot what the trophy was called. I think it was called Thief. But yeah, that was really cool. That has to be a given from Sucker Punch. You would at least assume if they threw that in there, you know? Mm-hmm. Or let alone if Naughty Dog goes back to... They developed Jack and Daxter, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, like, I would assume maybe a remaster or a remake the same way they did with Ratchet and Clank. Or just give it to Insomniac and let them handle it since they're all owned by Sony, right? Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. Like, could you imagine letting other developers or publishers lend their IPs to another developer? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you know what? Go free with this. Like, we give you like permission to, just because we have the same dad, yeah. Sony.
Or Resistance game too.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of speculation about Resistance from the It's Obvious Gaming podcast. They're one of the hosts always talks about Resistance and how good it is. And he always talks about like rumors of it coming back. Mm-hmm. I never played Resistance. Have you?
No, never have. But, you know, it's one of the first PS3 exclusives.
Yeah. Out there. Yeah, definitely. But other than news, I can't really think of anything else unless you saw something else.
No, not that I can think of right now.
Yeah, man. But I think we'll call that a shorty episode.
For sure.
Because, I mean, I seen some other news, but didn't take notes. This was pretty much on the fly. But other than that, yeah, man. I mean, yeah, take us out of here, bro. All
right, for sure. Let me just clear my throat. All right, this is episode 52, right?
Yes.
All right, for sure. And that was episode 52 of the Local Podcast. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Store, and that one app you know about that we don't. Also, join the Discord. You can find direct links in the description of wherever you're listening to. Thanks for everything, and we'll see you next week. That was pretty good. Disney.
Yep. Freaking, pretty much ending in short so I can go play that demo.
For sure.
But yeah, man. Thanks for everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Hopefully, we get these episodes out quicker. I'm going to try to see what I can do on my part to be releasing them consistently every week. But nonetheless, yeah, man. Have a good week.
All right. Thank you. You guys.
Peace.